Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
President Trump says he'll send Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to Saudi Arabia after the disappearance and alleged murder of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. On October 2nd, Khashoggi entered the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, Turkey, and hasn't been seen since. According to reports, Saudi officials allegedly tortured, murdered, and may have even dismembered the Washington Post columnist, claims which the Saudi state strongly denies. On Friday, reports emerged that Turkish authorities have audio and video recordings confirming that Khashoggi was killed inside the Saudi consulate. Those recordings have not yet been made public, but now Saudi Arabia says Turkish officials can search their consulate. Meanwhile, U.S. senators are pushing the Trump administration to consider sanctions on the Saudi government, and business leaders are pulling out of a future economic conference being hosted by the kingdom. Sara Aziza is a journalist covering human rights in the Middle East. Hi, Sara.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So if the Saudis have denied any involvement in the disappearance of Khashoggi, and so far that's been absent any proof, as far as we know. There was just a breaking news alert that they are now allowing Turkish investigators into the consulate. What's your sense on what that could mean?
Yeah, that's certainly an interesting development. However, it really remains to be seen how cooperative the Saudi officials may be. And we have had outside officials allowed on the premises once before, but it was very tightly controlled, sort of more of a curated tour than an investigation. Keep in mind that the Saudis have had almost 2 weeks to make whatever preparations they might need to in order to ensure that this, quote, investigation would go favorably for them. So it's perhaps a positive development, but, you know, we should definitely be skeptical of whatever may arise from that visit.
So, of course, President Trump, the world has been watching to see what the United States reaction would be. President Trump was on 60 Minutes this weekend, and he said that there would be, quote, severe punishment if the Saudis were found to be involved with Khashoggi's disappearance.
Would you consider imposing sanctions as a bipartisan group of senators have proposed?
Well, it depends on what the sanction is. I'll give you an example. They are ordering military equipment. Everybody in the world wanted that order. Russia wanted it. China wanted it. We wanted it. We got it. And we got all of it, every bit of it.
The question I have for you is, what kind of punishment are we talking about? He's sort of talked around sanctions. Are sanctions still on the table?
That is definitely a matter of debate at this precise moment. We've had some members of Congress saying that they would want to go that far. You know, for the U.S. that has such a strong and longstanding economic relationship with Saudi Arabia, sanctions are treated sort of as the ultimate boundary of the possible. It's a red line for some people who tend to want to focus on more incremental, perhaps more cultural, soft reprimands towards the Saudi government, whereas others say that that is the only really effective way, the only way to really convey the level of severity that they see in this case. So I think what everyone's really watching is the threat that Saudi issued in response to some of these hints, which is threatening to raise oil prices, threatening to retaliate as far as their oil production goes. So we will have to see what risks our government is actually willing to take. But oil and weapon sales are certainly the meat and potatoes, the foundation of our relationship with Saudi Arabia.
And you did speak with Jamal earlier this year. What did he tell you regarding the Saudi state and the Saudi crown prince?
Yeah, absolutely. I spoke with Jamal Khashoggi several times for a few pieces I was doing on the escalating crackdowns, the growing suppression of all types of free speech and free expression in the kingdom. And Jamal really shared with me some of his concerns that while Saudi Arabia had never been a bastion of human rights or free speech, there had been a little bit of latitude, a little bit of space for the press, for academics and religious leaders to perhaps differ with the royal family to a degree within some, pledge of loyalty to the Saudi royal family. However, under Mohammed bin Salman, we saw an increasing pattern of preemptive strikes. The crown prince was locking up people who had not necessarily criticized him at all, but whom he just feared might object. Right before he gave women the right to drive, for example, he locked up a lot of the country's most conservative clerics in order to sort of head off any conservative critique. And then at the same time, he was censoring or arresting academics and intellectuals on the more liberal side, sort of just demonstrating a need to completely control the narrative from the top down as far as his reforms and his reputation. And Jamal, as a journalist, really felt like he could no longer practice his craft as a journalist with any integrity. Many people were being asked to sign loyalty pledges. He was receiving increasing pressure from the government, and he grew really disheartened with the regime. He loved Saudi Arabia. He really expressed a lot of regret that he had felt the need to leave his family and his job and many, many colleagues behind. But he told me, you know, Saudi Arabia deserves better, and this crown prince may market one thing, may market a bright future for Saudi Arabia, but without freedom of speech and freedom of the press, that's a really hollow promise.
Sarah Aziza is a freelance journalist focusing on human rights. Sarah, thanks for joining The Takeaway.
Thank you so much for having me.